We're glad to have him. We'll give you a more formal introduction in a drier time.
Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the Lord's house? Gathered together among the people of God. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Appreciate the Lord. Appreciate what a feel right here. What a way to meet a group of folks, just to come right in among you in the Spirit of the Lord. Get to moving. Amen. I get real nervous when it ain't like this. I've got to confess, I'm a little nervous to meet you for the first time, but this good Spirit of God I'm feeling in my soul is making it a whole lot easier. Hallelujah. And I appreciate you, Pastor, and the meeting here, and the invitation to get to come and stand before you. And I'm not going to drag around here with a bunch of talking. I've got something on my heart. And I appreciate this choir full of young people singing to us about not going back. Not going back. Amen. I've drove up a stake, and I refuse to lose any ground. I'm 46, and I didn't get saved till I was 23. And I wish I could testify before you that I've never lost any ground. But there's been a time or two or three or more than I'd like to think about. It seemed like I'd take one step forward and two or three back. But that's never the will of God for his children. Go forward. That's a command of God. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the will of God. Strive that you may enter in at the straight gate. That's the will of God. Hallelujah. And if God will be my helper, I've drove up a stake. And the devil may get to pushing on me, but I ain't going past this place. I'm going on from here. Come on, say amen. I'm going on from here. I have struggled. I've wrestled about talking to you here today. And I really felt like the way the Lord was moving, that maybe I'd get out of it. But the lot has fell on me, and it looks like it's my time. And I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to several different portions of Scripture. We'll turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel, the 28th chapter, is where we'll begin. When you find that, you can turn to 2 Kings chapter 9. Have your way, Lord. Hallelujah. I really hope the Lord will deal with somebody here tonight. I haven't done this as long as some of you that are here have, but I have done it long enough to begin to figure out this. I appreciate the CDs and the tape clubs, and thank God they've been a great encouragement and a help to me. But I'm not preaching here tonight for the sake of the CD or the people on the tape club list. I really felt like God got to dealing with me to talk to somebody in this service. And it's just us. And God has narrowed it right down to you and me. And I would to God that somebody just open up their heart and hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, and just move in when it comes time. Anytime you feel God dealing with you, it's the right time to come to the altar and get things right with God. Wouldn't it be good for somebody just to get fixed right here tonight? How many believes he can fix it? He can fix it. 1 Samuel 28 is where I'll read from first. 1 Samuel, the 28th chapter. A very familiar portion of Scripture. The Bible readers. Verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went, and two men went with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. The beginning of verse 8, the Bible very simply said, and Saul disguised himself. And Saul disguised himself. 2 Kings chapter 9, another very familiar scripture, especially for holiness people. You've heard this talked about, sang about, preached about, taught about in Sunday school. Verse 30, 2 Kings 9, verse 30. Bible said, and when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. Scripture said when she heard that Jehu was coming, she painted her face. She painted her face. Saul disguised himself. Jezebel painted her face. Revelation chapter 2. I thought I almost heard you sigh. You think I'm going to preach from 2 Samuel to Revelation. We're not going to do that. Revelation chapter 2. Let's talk about Ephesus. Read about the church at Ephesus. Verse 1, Jesus speaking, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Hallelujah. Verse 2, he said, I know thy works. And he talked about their labor and their patience, how they couldn't bear them that were evil. They tried them that said they were apostles and were not, found them to be liars. In verse 3, he reemphasized how they had borne and been patient and done it all for his name's sake and did not faint. But in verse 4, he said, I've got somewhat against you because thou hast left thy first love. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's read one more place. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. One verse of scripture, verse 9. Jeremiah the prophet talking to God. God speaking back to Jeremiah. Verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Hallelujah. I've already told you, I've struggled. And I've even got some happier thoughts in my Bible case. But wouldn't it be a shame for me to flop and flounder around, miss the will of God, if somebody was in this service tonight that really needed to feel the loving hand of the Master reaching down to where they was. Now, I really feel like in my heart, I am convinced that you are here tonight. And I'd like for you to feel that reach and that pull. And I'm going to try to obey God and do my part and get out of the way. And we'll expect God to help us in this altar service here tonight. Hallelujah. I feel like God's already been pulling on folks and dealing with folks in this service, but we just hadn't got to that place. I really don't feel like we've got to that place where God wants us to be. And so I'm going to try to do my part and get out of the way. I'd like to talk to you on this thought, what's behind the mask? What's behind your mask? Would you lift your hands and pray and ask the Holy Ghost to walk among us and help us here tonight? Jesus' name, church said amen. When I began to think about the heart, God began to deal with me some time ago about the heart, and scriptures began to run through my mind that God had dealt with me about years ago, and I began to go back and to look at them again and research them and dig through them. God spoke to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Moses the prophet said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Hallelujah. Amen. He put the word heart in the very first position. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Joshua reiterated the same thing that Moses had commanded to the people in Joshua chapter 22 and verse 5. He said for the people of God to be diligent, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. To love him, to keep all of his commandments, to walk in all of his ways and to love him with all your heart. Amen. Brother Blue preached to us a good this morning about going up to the city of God, going up to the house of God, going up to the presence of God. The psalmist said in the book of Psalm chapter 24, "Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place, but he that hath clean hands and a pure heart?" Come on now. Amen. If you want to go up to where God is, you've got to have clean hands and you got to have a pure heart. Can you say amen? The psalmist said in Psalm 78 and verse 37, "For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant." I thought about these wonderful scriptures that the Lord has dealt with us about and encouraged us to love him with all of our heart, to serve him with all of our heart, to keep our heart with all diligence, amen, to maintain clean hands and a pure heart. And then God showed me Psalm 78 concerning the children of Israel. It was in a time when their heart turned back. They fainted in the battle and they refused to go on forward living for God. And the psalmist gave us the explanation as to why that took place. He said, "For their heart was not right with God." Come on now. Amen. You and I have seen it in the days gone by. We've saw men leave us from the pulpit. And you and I were astonished. We were all taken aback because it looked to us like it happened all at once. It looked like it happened all of a sudden. Hey, but it didn't happen overnight. There was a defect in their heart. There was a place in their heart that was not right with God. Can you say amen? Backsliding never happens overnight, but it's a long, drawn out process that takes place just a little bit at a time. Amen. A look turns into a longing. A longing turns into a lust, and a lust turns into a lifestyle. Amen. But when you begin to look and look again and look again, amen, there's a chink in your armor, and you need to deal with that place in your heart. Amen. Hey, the Bible said, amen, in the book of Proverbs 4 and 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep your heart right or die. He said what he was saying. Keep your heart clean. Keep your heart pure before God or lose out with him. Amen. Amen. In Ezekiel 18,
Amen. The Bible said, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Amen. I know. Amen. I don't know you. You don't know me. And I'd really rather be preaching flowery, happier thoughts to you here tonight. Hey, but God got to deal with me. You know, our scripture in the book of Joel chapter 2 that talks to us about shouting and talking in tongues and enjoying the outpouring of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. Before the young men started dreaming dreams and the old men started seeing visions, before the Spirit was poured out on the handmaids in those days, he said in Joel chapter 2 and verse 13, rend your hearts and not your garments. Come on now. Amen. I'm a feeling like, amen, we can have a move of God if we want one. Come on. I'm feeling like we can have a camp meeting if we want one. Hey, but I've got the feeling so sober in my soul today. Amen. I'm praying about this service tonight. Amen. I was really believing that God was just going to take it in this song service, but it looked like he wanted me to preach something to somebody here tonight. Amen. You need to look at the condition of your heart. The Bible said, blessed are the pure in heart. Hallelujah. You'll never have a move of God with sin in your heart. You'll never get your family saved if your heart's not right with God. You'll never have revival until you deal with the condition of your heart. Hallelujah. Condition of your heart. We become so expert at hiding who we really are from one another. That's right. Amen. Jesus said those things which come from the heart are those things that defile a man. He said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, and those things which defile a man. These are the things which defile a man. I got to thinking about this, and pondering on some of these scriptures that I've read to you tonight, and I've come to this conclusion. The possibility of a backsliding heart is a very sobering thought. Amen. Just to understand and realize that a man's heart does not always agree with his actions or deeds. That ought to make every one of us sit up and pay attention. Amen. A man or a woman's habits, their lifestyle, or their routine may continue on along a certain pattern long after his or her heart has ceased to be in it. Come on now. You can keep right on coming to church. You can keep getting on the platform. You can keep clapping your little hands or raising your hand to heaven. But you know if you're not right in your heart. Come on now. Amen. I've already preached to you. It's the pure in heart that you'll see God. It's clean hands and a pure heart that'll stand in Zion's holy hill someday. And Jeremiah said, it's the heart that's desperately wicked. But I'm telling you, there's a cure. There's a fix for the sin-sick, backslid heart. You've got to stir yourself up. You got to shake yourself again. Amen. Come back to your first love. Take another dip in the fountain filled with blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. But you got to be willing to come clean. Got to be willing to come clean with God. Repeatedly, the scriptures give us warning of a possibility of a backsliding that takes place in our heart. Amen. Even though we may continue on along a certain pattern, and it looks to all those around us that we're still giving the Lord apparent service or worship with our bodies. Jesus said in Matthew 15, amen, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Amen. It's one thing to holler hallelujah, and it's another thing to live hallelujah. Come on now. It's one thing to holler amen, and it's another thing to really get it set. settled in your heart. Let it be so. Come on, say amen. Amen. What a tragic, heart-rending thing it is when we see men and women begin to grow lax in their walk with God, lax in their relationship with the Lord. Amen. To see the love and the warmth, the fire that used to burn in men's hearts begin to grow cold, and they begin to get weary in their service to God, but they continue to perform, or they continue to act as if all is well. Amen. To these who outwardly continue to maintain their churchish standard, but inwardly have left their first love. Amen. Ezekiel said, with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Amen. Hey, listen, I can put on the uniform, I can fool everybody in this building, but I'll never pull the wool over God's eyes. He sees me. He knows me. Amen. He's the one that I'll stand before in the judgment. Let me talk to you here. The Lord will help me. I've seen these places in the Bible where men disguise themselves and women disguise themselves. The first one that we read to you is in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 28. Saul is removed from the presence of God. God's not talking to him when he gets down to pray. God's not dealing with his heart in his dreams anymore. Oh God, I got thinking about asking somebody here tonight, don't you remember when even your dreams were pure? Amen. When you dreamed at night, it's about the things of God. Anybody in this building besides me ever woke up in the middle of the night speaking in tongues? Come on now. I've done it more than once or twice. Come on, ask my wife. There she says, amen. I know the old devil throw you an old bad dream and maybe midnight pizza or spaghetti will throw you a curve every once in a while. Amen. But God used to deal with Saul in his dreams. He used to send prophets to talk to Saul. Amen. There was a time when Saul was little or small in his own eyes. Amen. And God would talk to him. God would encourage him. Amen. God strengthened him and helped him to become the man of God that he had become. But through the course of years, amen, Saul got puffed up with pride, and pride opened the door to jealousy and envy and greed, and his heart drifted so far away from God it became filled with malice and murder. He began to touch things he was not sanctioned to lay hold of. He began to participate in things that he had no business participating in, and the heavens shut up, became like brass, and God refused to speak to him. I'll tell you, the worst thing that can happen to anybody in this building is for God to leave you alone. That's the most terrible thing that could ever happen. I'd rather for him to be rebuking me than not speaking to me at all. Come on here. I'd rather for him to be chastising me. Bible said he chasteneth whom he loveth. I'd rather for him to be giving me a whipping than not talking to me at all. Come on, say amen. Huh? He always does it in kindness and love. Amen. He always has my best interest in mind. And any time I've got a whipping, it was always for my benefit. Daddy whipped me a time or two because I embarrassed him in front of his friends. But God ain't that away. God's always got my best interest in mind. And when he whips me, I deserve it. I read about a man in the New Testament that was in one of their synagogues. Jesus stood up to teach, and that man full of the devil jumped up and said, "Leave us alone. Let us alone, thou Jesus of Nazareth. We know you, the Holy One of God. Leave us alone." One man said, "That's always the protest of evil. Just leave me alone." Huh? But in reality, the worst thing God could do is leave you alone. As Saul, he'll tell you. Amen. There was a time he was walking under the anointing of the Holy God of heaven. There was a time everything he put his hand to looked like he had the Midas touch. Come on now. He was winning battles, gaining ground, winning victories for the kingdom of God. Hey, but there was a defect in Saul that he refused to deal with. He got puffed up and lifted up, and he forgot, amen, about the rock from which he was hewn. He forgot about the pit the Lord found him in. He began to exalt himself instead of exalting God. Let me tell you something about Saul. Not once during Saul's reign as king was the Ark of the Covenant in the land of Israel. But there's something more sad than that. Not one time did Saul ever put forth the effort to go after it. Not once. David became king. That's all his life was consumed with. Getting that ark of God back to Jerusalem. Come on, say amen. Huh? Oh God, there's a problem in people who do not want to move a God. There's a problem in folks who do not long for the Spirit of God to come on their life. There's a problem with people. Amen. We say things like, just sit there if you want to. And come on, you know, we spend so much time as holiness preachers. Come on, honey. Come on, sugar. Come on, darling. Get in this. Lift your little hand. Somebody praise the Lord. Come on now. The fact of the matter is, if you pray and you study the Bible and you fast and you practice Christian discipline, you will not need a cheerleader or a pom-pom squad to pump you into the presence of God. I know we all have bad days. Amen. Body aches, headaches, back aches. I know sometimes we lose a job and miss the car payment. Come on here. Amen. But when we come through those doors, everybody in this building ought to have a praise on their heart for God. There ought to be something inside of us that wants to shout hallelujah. Somebody lift your hands and praise the Lord here. Saul was unconcerned about the presence of God, so God left him. Saul got so hungry, so thirsty for the supernatural, that he called for men to come into his chambers. He spoke to them privately about somebody with a familiar spirit. I've got to have a word from the beyond. I need something spiritual. I need something supernatural. I cannot continue to survive, amen, without a word from the other side. Come on now. Instead of going through the proper steps that he needed to take to rebuild his relationship with God, he decided the shortcut is the best thing to do. Amen. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses commanded for the witches and the warlocks, the diviners, and those that had familiar spirits to either be put to death or drove out of the nation. Come on here. But now the very first king of Israel, I'll tell you something about him. He was not voted in. There was not a popular opinion vote took. God called him. God anointed him. And God put him there. Now overwhelmed with a great lack of gratitude for how good God had been for him, the Bible said he disguised himself and he went down to Endor. Amen. He began to inquire from a woman who had a familiar spirit. I'm telling you, you can drift so far away from God, especially if you've been in a Pentecostal church. You get so hungry for a move, you'll start doing things you said you'd never do. You'll start going places you said you'd never go just to get something supernatural. I've been working in West Africa about 15 years. And this ain't something I've heard. This is something I've seen with my own eyes. I've seen men worship tree stumps, bring food that was hard to come by. Instead of feeding their family, they brought it and laid it in front of that stump. I've seen them kill chickens when I go to West Africa in the capital city. If I want to eat chicken, it costs me about $10 to buy a big fat live hen. Chickens ain't cheap in West Africa. And I've seen them kill them and bring them to that tree stump. I've passed by, I hadn't literally seen them offer the chicken, but I've seen the feathers and the blood all over that stump. Come on, say amen. I've heard them at a distance. I would not go and participate. A lot of people, you know, National Geographic, people like that, they go participate. They try to encourage them so they can take film and snap pictures. Hey, man, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't want to be a part of nothing like that. I'd hate for the trumpet to sound, me being in the jungle at a devil worshiping service. Come on now. If I'm going, I'm going to do the preaching. I guarantee you that. That's right. I've seen those same people, hey man, raise their children with no shoes, live in mud houses. But I've seen some of the same ones turn their heart to God, the great God of heaven and earth. Like Jonah said, the one that created the sea and the dry land. Come on now. I've seen them make a turnaround and give their life fully to Christ. And I have been there so long, I have seen some, just like here in America, grow weary, amen, lose the joy of the journey, and turn back like a sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I've seen them return to the weak and beggarly elements of the world, amen, and I've talked to them, I've been in contact with them, and they are never satisfied worshiping that old stump the way they one time was. You see, once you've been in the real, once you've tasted the genuine, once you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, amen, there ain't a ballpark big enough, ain't a barroom or a honky-tonk loud enough, there ain't a fifth of Jack Daniels big enough, amen, to fill the empty place that's going to be inside of you when you turn and walk away from God. Got to have something supernatural. Something spiritual. Amen. He disguised himself. Wonder why he did. He put his mask on to conceal his identity. Amen. Webster said to mask. Amen. A mask is something that conceals or disguises. Bible said Saul disguised himself. Amen. To mask as a verb means to conceal from view, to hide, to cover over, to disguise. Saul disguised himself. He did not want anybody to know who he was. Number one, he didn't want the woman to know who he was that had the familiar spirit. For had she known he was the king of Israel, she would not have conjured up her spirit. Come on now. She wouldn't have went to work for him if she knew he was indeed the king who had the authority to have her put to death. Number two, he did not want anybody, amen, in the nighttime when he slipped, you know, to indoor to meet with that woman. He didn't want anybody to know who he was. Hey, there's a lot of people in the house of God that put their mask on to conceal who they really are. They don't want anybody to know their identity. I believe a child of God ought to be transparent. Come on now. Amen. We ought to come clean before God. Amen. Just like when we got saved. You know what? When I got saved, I really got it. When I come to the altar, I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know anything about the church. Come on here. Only thing I knew about God's what Charlton Heston taught me on the Ten Commandments. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. That's all I knew. Easter and Christmas. Sometimes my aunt would come and get me and take me. I'll tell you what I found out. When I knelt down in that altar, I didn't even know how to pray. Didn't know how to call out on God. And somebody in that big crowd that was around me, it just like it echoed through my soul. Tell him how rotten you've been. Confess it. Tell him what you've done. So I didn't have no more sense. I just started pouring it out on him. He knew it already. But it done something for me. To just pour it out, put it right out, just dump it right out on that altar. Tell God, here I am. I'm going to be as transparent as possible. While there's things I was ashamed. I didn't want God to know I did some things I'd done. I didn't want God to know about places I'd been. Come on now. And there's things I've done, places I've been. And my wife, I'd still never tell my wife or my children. No use in it, it's under the blood. Come on now. No use in dragging it up and hurting everybody's feelings. Just keep it under the blood. But I told God about it. Come on here. You know what he done? Hey man, he screamed into my soul, I love you anyway. I've been loving you for a long time. I've seen how wicked you've been. I've seen how far you drifted. If Saul would have humbled himself and cried out to God, the story would have ended different. But instead of humbling himself, he tried to disguise himself behind his mask and pretend to be somebody that he wasn't. I can't do it now, but I could have when I was about 170. I could have got me a good military haircut, went to the Army Navy store, bought me a used uniform, and I could have come to your town and probably convinced you I'm a soldier. I never have been a soldier. Daddy wasn't a soldier, I never have. I don't know anything about soldiers. I could have probably tricked people into believing because I would have looked like a soldier. There's a lot of people among us holiness folks who have tricked us into believing they're a soldier because of their uniform. Come on, say amen. But oh, can I talk to you? Wouldn't it be terrible to go to hell from a Holy Ghost church pew? Wouldn't it be awful to sit under preaching every week like you all hear around here? Hey, but wouldn't it be awful, hey man, to die lost and undone without God because of one little thing we refuse to quit, one little thing we refuse to give up and give over? Wouldn't it be awful, hey man, for God to deal with us Sunday after Sunday, hey man, homecoming after homecoming, revival after revival, and us sit soaking sour and refuse to give up and surrender all on the altar to Jesus and die lost and go to hell? It don't have to be that way. I said it don't have to be that way. You pull your mask off and throw it down at the altar and come clean with God. Oh, lift your hands and pray for me. Jezebel painted her face to conceal her intentions. Saul wanted to hide his identity. Everybody knew who Jezebel was. She wasn't concerned. She was already known. She didn't care if Jehu knew who she was. As a matter of fact, she wanted him to know who she was. It was not her identity she was concerned about. It was her intentions. That's what she was trying to conceal. Now, I won't stay right here a long time. I just don't feel like God dealt with me a whole lot for this particular service on this subject. Do you hear me? I have read this book over and over. And even while I was in the Church of God, I preached this in places where it was not popular. But you mark her down, you go home, study it for yourself. Not one place in the Bible did a woman ever paint her face to meet with God. It was always to impress a man. Every instance, never to stand before God did a woman paint her face. She painted her face, and I used to conjure up when I'd read through this portion of Scripture. I used to conjure up as a young preacher images in my mind of the wicked witch of the West. Amen. You know, just like them rock and roll stars used to paint that mess on their face. You know, I could almost see Kiss looking out the window. Hallelujah. When Jehu rode into town. Amen. But I've lived a little longer now. I've come to a little better understanding. I don't think she was ugly at all to look upon. Amen. I think she used, amen, that Phoenician art, that Egyptian art, that Babylonian art of painting voice in a very seductive manner. Come on here. Amen. She made her eyes look bigger. Amen. She made the whites of them look brighter. Amen. By smearing that charcoal around her eyes. Come on now. Amen. She made her lips more pronounced. Amen. Her cheeks. Amen. Looked like she was blushing. Amen. Like a young girl in love. You gonna help me while I talk to you? Amen. She wanted, amen, to seduce Jehu. She had already heard the prophecy from the prophet of God. Elijah done laid the blade to her and told her what was about to happen. Now the man of God, Jehu, is driving fiercely, coming into town. Amen. She hears his coming. She runs to her vanity and pulls out all the stops. She puts her seductive mask on in an effort to have her way with Jehu. Maybe I can talk him out of this. Maybe I can win him over to my side. You've heard greater men than me talk to you about this, and I won't stay here long. But I have seen the spirit of Jezebel, witnessed the spirit of Jezebel alive and well in our generation. Not only in women, but also in men overtaken by Jezebel's spirit. Huh? Her spirit was not all about painting her face and fixing her hair. Her spirit was about manipulation. Her way or the highway. Come on, say amen. Huh? If my husband can't have the vineyard, then I'll put you to death. And he's going to get it anyway. Come on here. That's the spirit of Jezebel. I'm going to get it. No matter what it takes, I will obtain it. I'm going to go after what my heart lusts after, what my flesh desires. And it doesn't matter who I hurt or run over top of in order to accomplish it. Come on now. Jezebel used artificiality and a falsehood to create an unnatural appearance to conceal her intentions. Let me ask you something. Why are you here tonight? What is your intentions on being in the house of God? God, I feel like I'm about to meddle. I don't want to meddle. I really don't. I'm an evangelist. But it's never, ever, ever, ever been the will of God for a good wholeness girl to marry a Baptist boy. I got about five amens. Never has. Now I know there is stories among us where that has happened. And somehow by God's miraculous grace, they won that once in grace, always in grace Baptist boy to wholeness. But I'll tell you, there's probably 5 to 1 for every one that came. There's probably 5 more that left. Come on now. That's just Brother Teague's estimation, all right? It never has. Sister Teague was a good Church of God girl. And I'll tell you, she got to sparking with me. We met when we was 15 years old in 8th grade at the junior high school, middle school. And in my mind, she didn't wear makeup. She had pretty long hair way down her back. Huh? Didn't have on a whole bunch of jewelry, painted fingernails. And something about that just drew me. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Just drew me. Huh? See, the family I lived in, I wasn't surrounded by a whole lot of pure things. Come on now. But I knew it when I seen it. We got to talking. She got to talking to me. And shame on her. She'll tell you. It's never the will of God to get tangled up with somebody in the world if you're trying to go to heaven and live for God. Huh? Oh, listen. She ended up backsliding. And for years, she spent a life of torment. Amen. Hatefulness, fussing, fighting, arguing, trying to settle down a bucking bronco, drug addict, drunk husband. Come on now. Amen. She married a drunk, a skunk, and a punk, a liar, and a thief, and a gambler. Come on now. She should have married her a good, holiness. this boy? Are you going to help me while I talk to you right here? Just nod your head and just give me a good Baptist amen. Right there, hallelujah. Amen. She had no business, amen, of messing with a worldly boy. And your little girl don't have any business. And your little boy don't have any business of messing with them folks in this world. What if she had died? We was 23 before we got saved. And boy, I'm telling you, it was in and out of the jailhouse and visiting me when she was 7 months along with my firstborn son. She was visiting me at the jail. Come on here. It wasn't pretty. What if we'd have died that away? She'd have went to the same hell I was headed to. And I would have been the one that drug her there. Come on here. It don't always turn out like it has with us. Come on, say amen. Don't always turn out like it has with us. What is your intention? Why are you here? Come on here. I've met men who joined themselves to a big church in town just so they can hand out some business cards and make a few contacts and get their business to going. What is your intention? Why are you here? Come on now. Amen. I have met folks. Listen, I preached in a church years ago and I didn't know it till a little later, but they finally told me that these two brothers had families. You know, they're both married to different women, both had children and multiple children in each family. And these brothers come to the conclusion, you know, years ago when we married these women, we married the wrong one. We're just going to swap. I'm talking about a Pentecostal church. And now they're swapped. And they all still going to the same church. All still sha-la-la and talking in tongues. Amen. All still praying in the altar. What is your intention? Why are you here? I don't know about you, but I'm here so I can go to heaven. I'm here to get my soul fed. I'm here to love on him the way he's loved on me. Hallelujah. Wave your hand and praise him here, will you? What's behind the mask? And I read to you about the church at Ephesus, and I'm going to quit. They concealed their inward heart. If you and I could take a trip somehow in God's time machine, go back to the city of Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, when they received this letter, just before the letter came, if we could visit that church tonight, we'd all leave saying, man, that's a holiness church. That's the busiest bunch I believe I ever seen. Working for God, laboring. Look like they all got joy on their journey. They're happy, happy, happy. Just busying themselves about the business of God. I'm telling you, they testified to us and told us about men that come through claiming to be apostles and wasn't, and they used the word of God, amen, the book to figure out they wasn't apostles at all. And now they hate evil. They can't stand the workers of evil. It looks like they got it all going on. But the master, who has eyes like a flaming fire, he sees past the facade. He sees past the external, down into the depths of our heart. He stood there somewhere in heaven considering that church in Ephesus. He's watching them. He sees them put the false apostles on trial. He watches them working their community, moving through that city, preaching the gospel, pulling souls out of darkness into his marvelous light. He comes to the conclusion they're doing this for my name's sake. Yes, they are. Hallelujah. But you know what? He looks way down inside and he sees they've become mechanical, insensitive. They're not moved with compassion the way they one time was. They're just like robots, machinery, going through the motion out of routine. They know what to do. They know how to do it. And they become good at it. But He speaks to them through that letter. He said, I want John write the letter to the pastor of the church, the angel of the church at Ephesus. And as his manner was in these seven letters, he began to commend them for all that they had done. But in verse 4, he said, nevertheless, their heart must have skipped a beat when their pastor's up with trembling hands reading that letter that come from John the Apostle from the Isle of Patmos. And he gets to verse 4 of that letter. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. There's a big smile on everybody's face until that nevertheless comes out. Somewhat against us. What have we done? Jesus reminded them of how they used to love him. How they was motivated with a desire to please him. They had put on a mask of religion. They had did everything right, but for all the wrong reasons. Oh God, hallelujah. I don't want to be like Ephesus. I don't want to just go through the motion like a machine, like a robot. Amen, but I want to be moved by the Spirit of God. Come on, say amen. I want to be moved by the Spirit of God. I don't want to have a mask of religion. Amen. To conceal my inward heart. Hallelujah. Amen. There's been things happen down in our part of the country. Amen. That blowed my mind, so to speak. Amen. Y'all have heard part of it. Things that happened years ago. Amen. Things come out on people. And just make me wonder how in the world folks could do some things that there's a doing in the house of God. Get up and talk in tongues and prophesy and give out messages and interpret messages. Come on now. Amen. You know how... Amen. They left their first love. They knew how to do it. But they was operating in the flesh. They wasn't operating in the Spirit of God. Come on now. The Holy Ghost can accomplish more in a few seconds of time than my feeble preaching can accomplish in a lifetime. We need the Spirit of God. We need the hand of God. We need the Holy Ghost moving among us. Stand with me, would you? Would you stand with me? What's behind your mask? I really felt like God dealt with me about this being transparent, coming clean before God. We do things. Folks commit sinful acts in their life that they're so ashamed of. That sorry devil does the same thing to you and I that he's been doing to men ever since the first man, Adam. When Adam and Eve sinned in God's garden, God came down in the cool of the day crying out Adam's name. Adam and Eve went and hid themselves. And with their own hands, they tried to hide their nakedness from before God and before one another, I guess. But I'll tell you something, the works of man's never enough. Huh? Self-help groups, rehab centers, divorce counselors, that's never enough. We need God. We got to have God. And other than that, it's just us sowing fig leaves together. That devil put so much shame on Adam for his rebellion against God. Isn't it amazing? The same devil that talked him into doing it. When he does it, he said, shame on you. You know what God's going to think about that. Huh? I hate the devil. Don't you? I despise him. I wonder how that story would have ended if when their eyes were opened, they'd have just run, found God, fell down before him and started crying, we've sinned against you. But that ain't what they done. They did the same thing lots of us do. They tried to hide.
They put on a mask and tried to pretend as if I can fix it. I read about some people in the Bible had a heart transplant, and it was all on account of mask removal. Zacchaeus, he come down out of his sycamore tree, and at the supper table he said, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give unto the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore him again fourfold." You know what he did right there in front of God and everybody? He come clean. He took his mask off. "I have took things from men that did not belong to me." That's what Zacchaeus said. "But I'm going to give it back to them four times more than what I took." Jesus said, "Today is salvation come to this house." Same thing you're going to have to do. You'll have to take your mask off. They sang about Mary this morning, "My, I feel the Holy Ghost." They sang about Mary this morning, breaking her alabaster box. It's been said by many that quite possibly she was the lady of the evening. The Bible very explicitly said she is a sinner. She broke that box and she poured it all out to anoint the Master. She fell down at his feet and wept, wiped his feet with her tears, washed them with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. She pulled her mask off and throwed it down outside the door of Simon the Pharisee's house. And she came and humbled herself in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord showed her mercy. You can have mercy too if you'll just get real with God. I read about a Canaanite woman who came to Jesus beseeching, crying, beseeching, begging, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. If you'll pray for her, or my little daughter's full of the devil. If you'll speak the word, if you'll pray for her, I know she'll be all right." And he said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it under the dogs." She said, "Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Amen. She came clean, transparent before Christ. "I know I'm not a part of the covenant. I know I'm not a Jew. I'm not a part of the family. I know that my time, my people's time has not yet come. We're just dogs. Yes, Lord. Truth, Lord. But I'm not asking for a place at the table. I'm not asking for a placemat with my name on it and a seat. All I need's just the crumbs that the children don't want." And her willingness to be who she really was got her daughter healed from that demon back home. What about you? What about you? What do you need out of this meeting? Are you willing to come clean? I'm going to ask them to come get ready to play something and sing. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me, please, all over this meeting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lamb of God. Lamb of God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, help us, Lord. I believe you're right here tonight. You need to move. Come close to God. Just throw your mask down. Say, "Lord, here I am. You know me anyway." You know what John said? John said we love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. You know what Jesus said about a backslid boy? He said, "And while he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him." Hallelujah. When that boy put forth the effort to come home, way before he ever got there, that daddy saw his silhouette coming up the road. And he ran out to meet him. I believe God will come down to meet with you right here tonight if you'll put forth the effort to get back to the Father. Get back to the Father. They're going to sing. These altars are open. Are you here tonight and you need to pray? Don't let this meeting slip you by in the same condition you are. Come, settle it. In Jesus' name.